This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten. Texas author Ben Fountain covered the 2016 presidential campaign for the British newspaper The Guardian. And the same question kept coming up for him during and after that election. How did the United States get to where it is today? His Guardian assignment and some additional thoughts form his new book, Beautiful Country, Burn Again. Fountain told me he thinks the country has burned and reinvented itself before the Civil War and emancipation, and then the Great Depression and the New Deal. His book's title implies we're close again, so of course I had to ask him that first when we talked recently.
Not burning now, not burning yet, but I certainly have the feeling that there's a lot of dry tinder out there and drought conditions. I was thinking 2008, 2009, the financial crisis. I was thinking that could have been it. We were skirting the abyss of a genuine existential crisis. The global financial system was about to melt down.
Why are we still that close?
Nothing changed. The power structure emerged from the crash of 2008 intact. And there were a few cosmetic changes, you know, like Dodd-Frank and to the financial regulatory system, but those are being rolled back. The big banks have gotten bigger. The bankers are making more money than ever. The political parties, they certainly look to me like they're as corrupt as ever and unresponsive to working people's needs. I think it's obvious that there's a great deal of frustration, confusion, and anger among the population at large. When Trump said the system is rigged, that was a very powerful truth that people were hearing, because that had been the lived experience for, you know, a vast swath of the population the last 25 or 30 years. Yeah, we're working harder than ever. It's getting harder than ever to make ends meet, but American productivity has never been stronger, and people at the top are just getting richer and richer and richer.
So I want to pose a question to you that you actually pose in the book. And here is what you write. What is it about the American character that allows the long con of our politics to go on and on? Electing crooks, racists, bullies, hate-mongering preachers, corporate bagmen, and bald-faced liars. Not always, but often. The history is damning. We must, on some level, want what they're offering.
I think Americans, like, you know, people in every country everywhere, we're susceptible to easy fixes, to having, some of our worst instincts appealed to in the name of, you know, instant gratification or easy money. There are certain prejudices and predilections in the American character that make us susceptible to hucksters, con men, people who are offering, you know, a smooth line, but really nothing behind it.
Now, you write in the book that the Democratic Party helped put Trump in the White House, you believe. How is that so?
35 years of neoliberal policies promoted by the Democratic establishment, beginning in the early 1980s with the so-called New Democrats, which led to the Democratic Leadership Council. And these were movements within the party to pull the party more toward the center and center right, a more centrist, business-oriented slant to the party's platforms. People are, you know, beleaguered, frustrated, confused, and scared. And when they don't see a great deal of difference in their economic lives between when Republicans are in power and Democrats are in power, that is ripe territory for someone like Donald Trump to enter into the scene.
Having spent time on the campaign trail, having thought about this and synthesized all of this, what do we do now then to have or make choices that aren't the same as before, or choices that might affect real kind of change, whatever that change may be that voters want?
I think politicians need to get real. And a corollary to that is we need to be electing politicians who are real. I mean, democracy takes a certain level of engagement and participation on the part of the citizenry. It requires some level of critical thinking, some level of paying attention, trying to inform ourselves about the reality around us. These days, with so many different kinds of media and so many media agendas coming at us, it may be harder than ever. We have to be smart and alert. You know, we have to bring a certain degree of skepticism to what's being put in front of us. If we're going to do our job and start, you know, selecting people who are really going to represent people's interests.
How did you walk away from this entire process?
I think we are due for a major crisis in American life. I think we're going to be faced with a pivotal choice in the national life of whether we are going to continue to aspire and try to be a genuine democracy where the principle of equality becomes more and more the lived reality of the country, or it will become this kind of ersatz democracy where we have the trappings of elections, but the real power resides elsewhere. We're pretty much there right now. I think the plutocracy, the oceans of dark money they can pour into elections really tips the scale. Not completely, but I think any popular candidate has an uphill battle. When I do think about hopefulness or lack of, I take comfort in the fact that America is various. It is never all one thing or all the other. It is too many different things. I think, at least to this point, for one person or one movement to herd, you know, the American nation into a single lane. And so I think just our sheer diversity and energy and the vitality that new immigrants bring, new cultures bring, and that rethinking what is the American culture, what is the American character, what is it, what is the American identity. I think as long as there's a vital core to that exploration, I think there's a good deal of hope to be had for the country.
Ben Fountain is the author of Beautiful Country, Burn Again. Ben, thank you so much for your time and your thinking on this.
Thank you, Jennifer. It was a pleasure.